Have you ever bought something and taken it out of the box? It was delivered to your door, maybe, or picked it up in the store. Maybe it was a piece of furniture, maybe some other doodad gadget, and it was some assembly required. And it turns out it was a lot of assembly required. So you open the box, and here comes 100,000 parts out of the box, and you just decide you're going to begin to put it all together just by conventional wisdom, which if you're a guy, that means throwing away the directions and just winging it. I'm just going to take this and put it together with that. And you know, you get it all together. You look down in the box. Huh? What are all these extra parts that they sent? I don't know. I mean, it looks like the picture, so I think it's probably good enough. And you try to flip it on, and lo and behold, it doesn't work at all. Or it's hanging down here and falling apart there, and you can't figure out why. I mean, I'm a guy. I know how to do this, and I put it together with my skill, and it looks like the picture and everything, and it just won't work. And the reason that it doesn't work is because you're a dummy. No, because you didn't follow the directions the way that they were laid out by the manufacturer. Imagine that you're on a road driving and you figure out, I know how to get here. I don't need one of those map things. Those things are just clutter. And you know, on the phone, I don't need that. Cause I'm a guy. Again, we're picking on guys this evening. I'm a guy, and God has just built into me, into all men, this innate compass, this sense of direction, and I know exactly how to get wherever I'm getting, so I don't need anyone to tell me what to do. By the way, if you've got one of those navigation systems on your phone or one of those standalone devices that talks to you, gives you turn-by-turn directions, you go into the settings and you switch that to male voice, because most guys say, oh, a woman's not going to tell me where to go. I can figure it out on my own. And so 3.5 hours into the trip, you still don't know where you're going. And all hope is now lost because you tried to figure it out on your own, to do it your own way. Or imagine that you're a guy in the kitchen baking. Now, bless your heart, some of you guys like to bake, and God bless you. But and I'm not saying at all tonight that it's a woman's place in the kitchen. But I'm just saying that women often do it better than men, following a recipe. And so you get out, you're going to bake a cake. It's your wife's birthday or someone's birthday. I'm going to bake a cake. So you look up the ingredients on the ingredients list from some internet website that knows what they're doing. And you just gather all the ingredients together. And a couple of things you overlook. You didn't notice where it said the amounts of the ingredients. So you just start dumping into this bowl. There's cake mix, and there's flour, and there's eggs and butter, and just indiscriminate amounts. Doesn't really matter. I got some cake mix in there. I got some butter. I got some eggs, and I stir it up together, and oh, I need the oven. So you just turn on the oven to just some random number, 500 degrees. And you put it in the oven for some random amount of time. And lo and behold, you pull it out. And, you know, it looks like something. But you put the icing on there. It covers it all up. You invite everyone to the party. And it tastes awful. Worst cake ever. I don't understand. I had a recipe. I used all that it said. But you didn't follow it the way that it was designed to be followed. And in Isaiah chapter 58, we're going to look at the entire passage here. I want to start by just reading the whole chapter. Isaiah 58, we find Israel at a point in their spiritual lives where they're trying something spiritual, but it just isn't working. Now, there were times in Israel's history that they had nothing to do with God. They totally forsook him. They went after false gods. They just got away from the temple and the worship system 100%. And then there were times that they acknowledged God, that they needed him, and they're trying to do things by the Bible, kind of, but it's not working. And that's where they are here in Isaiah 58. I've entitled the message, Fasting in Vain. And we're going to see Israel fasting in this chapter, fasting and praying. And so let's go ahead and read it. Isaiah 58, let's read verses 1 down through 14. It says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. So right out of the gate, we see here a nation that's in sin, and at the same time, and yet they are seeking God. But the question is, how are they seeking God? So let's go on. Verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they shall be of thee, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And so we see here, the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, what they have is an outward spirituality. They have a show that they're putting on of religion. They were fasting and praying to God. And some people would say, well, what could be worse than that? I mean, what? This is a wonderful thing that they're doing. They're fasting and praying. By the way, some people never get around to fasting and praying. Some Christians, they deem themselves good Christians. I mean, I go to church, I read the Bible, and I don't really get around to praying much and fasting. Well, that's for super Christians. Some people would look at these people and say, wow, they've got it all together. If anybody is going to see good things in their lives, it's going to be these people. But they were perplexed and didn't understand why their fastings and their prayers weren't working. And so God explains in this chapter that it was because they weren't doing it right. They weren't following God's, if I can use the word, recipe. Now, fasting and praying is not exactly like following a formula and then, ding, you get whatever you want. But God has given instructions on how to pray and how to fast, but they weren't doing it God's way. They were doing it their way. They were, if we can put it this way, this is a form of religious syncretism. Syncretism in the Bible is when you blend the worship of God with paganism. Put them together and you've got this brand new religion that doesn't exist. But whenever we do some of the things that God talks about, but we do it our own way, that is also a little bit of syncretism, blending God's ways with our ways. And the result is like a birthday cake that tastes awful, that no one wants anything to do with. Just because you pray, just because you fast, and fasting involves depriving yourself of things that you typically enjoy and afflicting your soul, kind of putting yourself through the ringer a little bit in the name of seeking God. Just because someone does that doesn't mean that God is going to answer those prayers. The word fasting, it doesn't mean that you get what you want really fast. Okay. It doesn't have that idea at all. So, Proverbs 28 and verse 9 says this: there's a way that people pray that God will not listen. And there are a people that pray that God will not listen to. It says this, Proverbs 28, 9, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." So there are some people that even when they do something spiritual, even when they pray, God says, that is abomination. Prayer is not automatically wonderful. And by the way, just because certain people pray for you doesn't mean that that's a good thing. Maybe you've noticed that before, where there's a tragedy that happens and the news anchors are on the news saying, he is in our thoughts and prayers. And some people, you kind of think, I don't want to be in your prayers. I think your prayers are abomination before God because I know what you believe and I know the life that you're living. So prayer automatically is not wonderful. There is a certain prayer that God hears. There is a certain person that God will hear. And so these people, it says in the book of James, and we'll get there in just a little bit, but these people are asking for things amiss that they could consume it upon their lusts. They were very hypocritical as they were praying. It says in verse 3 that they were finding pleasure and they were exacting all their labors while they were fasting. So they were fasting and afflicting themselves, so to speak, but they were also doing whatever they wanted to. They were enjoying the pleasures of life and they were exacting all their labors. By the way, it says that on the Sabbath day, we'll get to that in just a moment, that they were laboring and doing whatever. But then in their spare time, when they had, you know, nothing else going on, they would fast and they couldn't figure it out. And so I want to look at three reasons, three ways they were fasting and praying that were disqualifying their prayers from being answered, and how we can watch out for this in our own lives. So first of all, they were involved with smiting. Their fasting and their prayers had to do with harming, literally harming other people. So they were praying with the wrong motive. They were fasting with the wrong motive. Because of this, they were fasting in vain. It was a worthless expenditure of energy. And so let me read verse 4 again. It says, "Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high." Here's what was happening. These people had certain enemies in their lives. I don't like that person. I've got it. I know how to fix that person. I'll get God to fix them. And so they would go to God and they say, "God, I pray that you would get that person. I pray that you would make them lose their jobs. I pray that you would make their marriage fall apart. I pray that you would, you know, as they're walking down the road, I pray that they would just trip and smash their face, break their nose or something." And it was very hateful, their motivation. It was all about somebody else getting put down, and they're praying about it. They're actually fasting about it. They're actually taking this to God and expecting for God to do this. James chapter 4, as I mentioned, I want to read verses 1 through 3, and it shows a people who are involved in spirituality, but they're also involved in hatefulness and bitterness toward other people. So James 4, verse 1, it says this: "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust," and the word lust here means to desire, "ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." So the people of God here, they're involved in fighting with people, in warring. And it says they desire. Everybody desires certain things. What do you desire in your life? Maybe you desire to have a nice car, a nicer house, a well-paying job, whatever it may be. People desire, and then they say, well, how am I going to get that? Oh, I know how I'm going to get it. I'm going to take it from him. Or I'm going to push this guy down and take my rightful place here. And the way that they have been trying to get what they want is by fighting and warring, but they have not. And it says, ye have not because ye ask not. They weren't going to God for what they wanted. They were just trying to take it from someone else, sometimes literally killing. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. And then it's almost as if they heard that. Oh, it's because I haven't been praying. Okay, God, I pray that you would make it happen. Get it for me. And then it says, whenever you do get around to praying, ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. And so these people, they're involved with smiting each other, fighting and warring to get whatever they want. They're not really considering God and his ways, his will. They're not considering how they can please God. It's all about getting what they want and hurting other people in order to get it. And then involving God in that. You could almost call this using God's name in vain. We're going to bring God into our fighting in murderous ways. Prayer is not to be used like that. God didn't give you in your toolbox of Christianity. He didn't give you prayer as a sharp weapon to go and stab people and harm other people. That's not the fast that God has chosen. That's not the prayer that God has chosen. Are we going to do this and make our voice to be heard on high? Those prayers will not be heard in heaven that are with the wrong motive of carrying out our wishes. And you know, God is not here, if we can put it this way. Prayer is not so that you can be a mob boss and have God put out a hit on someone of your choosing. That's the way of the world. This is not the way that God wants us to live. And so that's the first reason, is because they were smiting other people with their prayers, with their fasting, and it wasn't working. Number two, the second reason that their fastings weren't working was because of selfishness. It's kind of dovetails on with number one, but first of all, they were smiting other people. Second of all, because of their selfishness, that all of their prayers were just for them and what they could get. And the Bible says that they weren't using prayers and fastings to help those that were needy, those that were struggling. And we see this, we read this in Isaiah 58 in verses 6 through 12. I just want to get a little snapshot of that. Look at verse 6. It says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh." This is interesting, the perspective that God has. He says, whenever we fast, whenever we pray, it should be for others. And it's really interesting the way that God says that these prayers should be answered. He doesn't just say you should be concerned about the needy and that you should pray that I will help the needy. He says you should fast and pray and then you should help the needy. Did you notice that? It says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house when thou seest the naked that thou cover him and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. So many times we pray and I think God would say, that's a wonderful prayer request. I want you to be involved in answering that prayer request. Sometimes we say, God, I pray for so-and-so. He's struggling financially. I pray that you would provide for all of his needs. And God says, okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to provide for his needs through you. I want you to go and do that. Remember what it says in the book of Malachi. It says, Jesus in the book of Luke. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. So if you give, God says, I'll give unto you. Good measure, pressed together, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosoms. And that's the way that God gives to people many times, is by using other people. So who's he going to use? If not you and me, who's he going to use? You know, it's almost like we pray, God, I pray that you would bless that person. I pray that you would provide for his needs. And I pray that you would find someone out there, some really rich person that has money to spare, money to burn, and I pray that he would give to them. And God says, no, I don't want to do that. I want to use you. I want you to deal your bread. But so many times we pray, and even when we pray for other people, there's a little bit of selfishness involved because we are not interested in reaching out and being God's hands and being God's feet that will carry things to certain people. These people, they couldn't figure out why their prayers weren't being answered. And sometimes the reason is we got our eyes on ourselves. We're so concerned about our own needs being met. And if there is something for someone else, we don't want to be involved in meeting it. God wants a selflessness to our Christianity and therefore a selflessness in our prayers. How often do we pray and say, God, what do you want me to do to be involved in the answer of this prayer? Now, obviously, there are some things that are out of our hands. If somebody's dead, and we pray for God to raise the dead, God doesn't say, okay, I want you to go and be the one. You know, we don't have the power to do certain things. But sometimes God has put in our hands the ability. And as we have opportunity, we should do good to all men, especially those that are of the household of faith. That's why God has given us what he has given us. Have you thought about that a lot? God didn't give us lots of stuff just so that we would be blessed. We have been blessed to be a blessing. That's what God said to Abraham. Thou shalt be blessed and thou shalt be a blessing. We've been blessed by God to be a blessing. And God wants our prayers and our fastings to be in that direction. That God, I pray that you would really get a hold of this person's need. And will you use me? Is there something that I can do to be involved in that? But that's what, and by the way, it's not just the fastings and prayers for that, but it's also from this angle that God hears the fastings and prayers of those that are involved in those types of things. Once we're generous, once we're living a selfless life, now God says, okay, now you're right where I want you to be. Now I will listen to your prayers. Now I will bless your fastings. But if you're just fasting for yourself, what you can get out of life, what you can get from God, God doesn't want to answer those prayers. Proverbs 21:13 says, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. And Old Testament and New Testament, God wants us to have a heart for those around us. And if we ignore it, if we ignore the needs, I don't care about that. I don't have time and too busy. God says, we will have needs and we will cry, but we will be ignored. So what these people were involved in was selfishness. They only wanted God to help them avenge themselves on the backs of the oppressed, and they didn't have a heart for other people. Jesus, when he came to earth, he didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister. and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve and to meet the needs of others and to bless others. And that should be our heart. If we want God to hear our prayers at all, if we want our fasting to make sense in heaven, make sense to God, it needs to come from the heart of someone that is generous and selfless toward other people. Whenever you fast and pray, is it just to get things that you want, or is it to get what God wants in your life? We need to examine our heart and our motive in fasting, or in praying. Matthew 6, verse 9, Jesus tells us how to pray. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven. So many times we say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. My kingdom come, my will be done. We want our personal empire to flourish. God, I pray that you would give me enough. Give me so much so that I can have more than the next person. Maybe we won't put it in so many words, but in our hearts, we're just praying selfish prayers. And God wants us to be selfless. And the number three, the third reason that these people's prayers were not being heard and that their fasting was in vain was because they were involved in Sabbath breaking. They weren't obeying the Lord. In other words, just in general, in this one category, but we could expand this to other areas, they were living in disobedience to God. And we can't forsake God, forsake his commandments, forsake his will and his word, and then all of a sudden over here say, okay, now God bless me, and here comes the blessings. So listen to verses 13 and 14, Isaiah 58, 13. It says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. See what they were doing. God had, for Israel in the Old Testament, he had sanctified one day of the week, the Sabbath, the seventh day or Saturday. He had set it apart as holy. And he'd said, you're to use this day as a day of rest and to recognize me, to worship me, to honor me. This day is not about you going off and doing whatever you want to do. This day is to revolve solely around me. And by the way, every day should revolve around God. But this was a special day that with rest and other ways that they would sanctify God unto them. But instead, they did whatever they wanted to on the Sabbath day. It became a break. It became a day off for them to do whatever they wanted to do instead of about God. And oh, but by the way, they were going to fast and pray, and they couldn't figure out why their prayers weren't being answered. It's because they were living in disobedience. They had rejected God's will for them and embraced their own will. And maybe right now there's a particular area. Maybe it's not a lot of things. Maybe it's one thing. Maybe there is a certain besetting sin in your life. It might be a sin of omission. It might be a sin of commission. There may be something that God has called you to be doing and you're not doing it. There may be something that God has said don't do and you are doing it. Maybe you just have pushed in some area, not in every area. You're not an atheist. You're not saying there is no God. I don't care about God. But you're saying, I am going to hold on to this one particular thing. And I acknowledge God, but God will understand, and this is my thing. This is my particular pet. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. But if we're holding on to something that God doesn't want us to hold on to, we cannot be delighting in the Lord. We're delighting in that particular sin. We're delighting, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's a hobby, maybe it's just some other area that you have not sanctified God. You can't delight in the Lord and delight in sin at the same time. But if we will push everything aside and say, God, I only want you. I only want your will. I want to live in obedience. And have you ever prayed that prayer? God, if there's anything in my life that's displeasing, if I'm disobeying you in an area, I pray that you would bring it to my mind and help me to confess it and forsake it. God will answer that prayer. Sometimes he will answer it very fast. God, is there something in my life? And wham, right on the front of your mind, something will come. And you'll say, oh yeah, I remember that now. What are you going to do about it when you remember it? Are you going to confess and forsake it and delight in the Lord so that he can give you the desires of your heart? Or are you just going to try to play both sides of the fence? This religious syncretism, it's paganism and Christianity together. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God for things, but I'm also going to hold on to this at the same time. It doesn't work. It's a waste of time. You are fasting or praying in vain. God says, I will hide mine eyes from that type of prayer. If you can't figure out why your prayers aren't working, first of all, maybe it's because you're not praying. You have not because you asked not. But maybe it is that you're living like Israel in one of these ways. Maybe in your life you've been involved in smiting others. Maybe not literally smiting, but there's fighting and argument all the time. Can't figure out why God won't answer your prayers. Maybe you've been involved in selfishness. You're not considering the needs of others around you, and you've closed yourself off to God. And maybe you've been involved in disobedience, whether it, you know, for them it was Sabbath breaking. For us, it's maybe some other command of God. But we can't do life however we want to do it and then all of a sudden have God's blessings. Why don't we choose the fast that God has chosen? Living for him, living for other people, putting ourselves last. That's a prayer that God wants to answer. Let's pray together.